Brian Had a Dream. 10,000 movies, 40 years. This is his journey, and this is your invitation to join along. This is the quest for 10,000.
Welcome once again to the quest for 10,000. I'm Ben.
And I'm Brian.
And you are part of the audio journey with Brian as he tries to watch 10,000 movies before he turns 40. Thank you so much for downloading this episode of The Quest, and we hope that you will share it with a friend or even join us in the conversation at 10K Movies on Twitter or Brian's blog, 10kmovies.com. In this episode, it is one of our preview review as we get ready to go see Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2, one of the most highly anticipated movies of the year. And so, Brian, let's just start right there, jumping right into it. How excited are you for this movie?
I'm pretty excited. When the first movie came out in 2014, I was aware of the movie. It's a Marvel movie. I was going to see it, but I can't say I was super excited about it. I didn't have
That's not how I remember this.
I remember seeing
the trailers and going like, this is going to be awesome. And me being like, I'm not sure I like the 70s vibe to it.
Well, my recollection of it is that when I saw the movie, it was just, I was like, I got to go see this again. Like, I went and saw it. My wife was out of town, I don't know where she was, but she was not in town. So when she got back, I said, you got to go see this with me because you got to see this, you know. So I drug her. We loved it. It was so good, so funny.
Yeah, it really did come out of left field. Chris Pratt, kind of known?
Known guy, but I mean, his career was built just like that.
But you had people like Dave Bautista, Vin Diesel. So in this movie, you're like, how is this going to work? What are they going to do?
Yeah.
And it was perfect. Perfect.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, it was. It was a pleasant surprise for how good it was.
Yeah. I think my experience similar to yours. I didn't actually see the movie in the theater, but I think saw it like on demand the following Christmas with my in-laws, and I watched.
How did this happen?
How can you describe this? And at the end of the movie, she was like, "This is amazing. This is
so good."
Now, again, Chris Pratt didn't hurt on that, but for her, but I think her still most. Amazing. She watched it and she just turns to me and says, how's a professional wrestler like this good in a movie?
Oh, he's so funny.
She didn't understand Bautista and how he was able to pull that
off. I mean, he's following in The Rock's footsteps in a lot of ways, but both of us are not hardcore, but we're both followers of professional wrestling. So we knew who Bautista was. I mean, you knew who he was.
Right.
There was nothing in Bautista's career that prepared you for this.
No, nothing.
With The Rock, you saw it coming. Like,
right.
You saw how good he was with a crowd, and you saw his charisma, and you saw how funny he was. So you could easily have just closed your eyes and this guy's going to be a star. Maybe not to the level he is, but you knew he was going to have a career. Bautista, you had no. The guy was stiff. He was unnatural. He was very awkward. He had no, I mean, there was nothing in anything he did that was shown, this guy could be funny. Yeah.
So we agree, you know, first movie knocked it out of the park, far exceeded
any home run.
Buzz it had around it, had very little maybe expectations to overcome, hurdled those massively. So here's the question. As we look at Volume 2, way more hype, way more excitement. Stakes way higher. It could be a really good movie and yet still be something of a disappointment. Are you worried about that at all?
No.
Why not?
No. Because even though he doesn't have his track record is not large, but I think James Gunn cares enough about these characters and is aware of that pressure and aware of what he has to deliver. Plus, I think he set it up in the first one that he had a story to still tell. The story of Star-Lord's, you know, reunion with his father. So, you know, this is not something he's not forcing a story to get another movie. He's continuing the story he already knew was there. Right. And so I trust that he knows what he's doing with that. Plus, you know, he's apparently it was his dream to get Kurt Russell and Sylvester Stallone and all these guys.
Yeah.
And he got his dream. So I just think this one's going to be good.
So in some ways, what I hear you saying is that in a very specific way is you trust it because it's a Marvel movie. And really, there hasn't been a huge disappointment yet.
Well, and I also trust you typically, especially when they entrust their characters, because they sort of have like each, you know, with the exception of Thor. Well, the films that have a set creative team kind of behind that area, James Gunn has this. You know, he has Guardian. They tend to be better because they have more cohesion, mm-hmm. and they can build off each other. The ones that are like Thor, which is bounced from director to director to director, it suffered because of that. It has no
right.
You don't. When I say Thor, you don't know what Thor I mean.
Right.
So.
Well, and it is sort of funny. It feels also like the success of the first Guardians, anticipation of Volume 2, it makes me wonder how much some of the plans of the cinematic universe changed a little bit. To kind of bend more towards Gunn and his sensibilities, his kind of tone, and making Guardians a much more central piece of the Marvel Cinematic Universe. You mentioned Thor, that trailer for Thor Ragnarok, I think heavily influenced by Guardians.
Sure.
And so it's going to be real interesting to see.
Well, I
this
think
is kind of the
I'll say
to,
this.
This is the penultimate chapter to Marvel Phase 4.
3 or 4, whatever. This is 3, but... I'll say this about the Thor movie. I don't know that it does make you think of Guardians, because Guardians is the only other one that's that like kind of balls to the wall funny and throwing stuff out there and purposely trying to be funny. But
on the music and all that sort of
stuff. But I'd say more than that, though. I don't know that that's so much the case as they hired Taiki Waititi or whatever his name is to direct Thor because of the success of Guardians.
Right.
And that I will give you. I say he would not have been hired had Guardians not been as successful as it was.
And that's what I mean in terms of, you know, establishing a tone and trying to kind of follow that blueprint a little bit more. It's just interesting to me. One other thing you mentioned too, Gunn, you know, having the story to tell, having kind of an arc to continue to explore.
Mm-hmm.
We talked in our last episode about Star Wars. We had time, we were going to talk about how that franchise maybe even had an impact on
Guardians
and how the arc of that maybe also might hit some way in Guardians. Now, I in preparation for that, I read just a couple articles from 2014, one of which was a Den of Geek, an interview with Gunn, where basically he says, yeah, Guardians of the Galaxy was influenced by Star Wars, at least to the sense of, like, I wanted to create a movie like Star Wars was for me. And he also mentions Raiders of the Lost Ark. So that was sort of his intent behind it. He said,
uh-huh.
yeah, of course it's space and that sort of thing, but it was really trying to create that tone and that atmosphere. And maybe a coincidence they're both in space. And you see that a lot. You know, you see a lot of Star Wars influences. I think there was a Vulture article that even listed 7 different similarities between Star Wars and Guardians, from Peter Quill, Star-Lord being Han Solo, to this question of parentage and, you know, who's my father and connected to some larger power and that sort of thing. What similarities do you see just kind of between the Star Wars mythos that we get in episodes 1 through 7 now and just some of the things you see in Guardians, we've seen in the trailers for Guardians 2?
Well, you know, clearly... not knowing who your father are is the big one. This movie, though, I mean, the difference is Star-Lord is closer to Han than he is Luke, right? In
tone.
Well,
initially.
In that Vulture
article, it even says, you know, you find out he is heroic and he has leadership qualities.
Yeah, but, I mean, you find that out about Han, too.
Yeah.
I mean,
I see what
you're saying. It's almost like they've combined the Luke and Han character into one.
Right.
As opposed to having... A love triangle. They just have a love story.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know, they've taken that unnecessary part out. And I guess you could argue that Groot and Rocket are like the C-3PO and R2-D2 type character. They're kind of comic relief, and they have their
own. Or even a Chewie. There's a little bit of a Chewie Han vibe there.
Well, the Groot thing has definitely got a little bit of Chewie to it. I mean, You know, but yeah.
That's also in that Vulture article as well.
You know, Luke had, we didn't see Luke have a relationship with anybody as a father. I mean, I'm assuming that Uncle Owen and him had some a relationship, but we didn't see any of it, very little of it. We saw that in Guardians, big time. I mean, Yondu was a huge father figure.
I think it's safe to say a lot of tonal things are the same. I think it would have been funny if in the trailer where you have Kurt Russell saying, "I'm your father," if you had Peter just yelling out, "No," that might be kind of fun too. Let's talk about, though, maybe what we think could happen in Volume 2. Any predictions for this movie before we see it?
Well, I mean, clearly, we know, you know, Kurt Russell is, he's got an agenda, okay? Mm-hmm. He's not just wanting to reunite with his son. I mean, he could have done that 20 years ago. Mm-hmm. So there's an agenda here. We're going to, you know, I think there's an opportunity for Yondu to really prove himself to be worthy of being in the Guardians himself. Mm-hmm. So I think he's going to have a moment to shine.
Yeah. My prediction is that Kurt Russell may not really be his dad.
You don't think so?
It's going to be totally off of that. They've said that Sylvester Stallone's character is Starhawk, which is a pretty heavy hitter in the comic books, Guardian Origins and Mythos. I kind of wonder if there's a little bit of a bait and switch and that Stallone might actually be the dad.
I think we're going to see...
Maybe not, but I think...
You know, in the comic books...
I'll go with that one.
In the comic books, there are different iterations of the Guardians. Like, there's different groupings. Mm-hmm. And so I think we're going to get some of the characters from some of the other groupings
We definitely are. That's already been leaked. Ving Rhames is actually in the movie. That's been leaked already as one of the original Guardians team in the comics was from, like, 3,000 years in the future or something like that. And we're going to get some of those characters. That's where Starhawk was. We're going to get some of those characters in this movie. Yondu actually was even part of that future group. And now they're maybe making it more part of the backstory of the timeline.
So you could, you know, that's something that you could eventually, like, you know, if I know they're going to do a Volume 3. But, I mean, you find it difficult to believe that Marvel doesn't at least somewhat have had discussions about, okay, what about Volume 4? You know, they've had that discussion, even if they're not ready to go all the way there yet. And they want Guardians to be an integral part of the franchise going forward. And that's something that because it has this ever-expanding and large cast of people, that's something that if they start working those in, that's going to give them outs and possibilities in a way other parts of the franchise like Iron Man, Thor, whatever, don't quite have. Mm-hmm. You know, you can constantly like be, and you can even mix and match and make the, you know, make different groupings just to have variety. Yeah. So they have the potential there if they do it right.
Well, let's quit talking about the movie. Let's go see the movie. And let's meet back here and talk about what we've seen. We will catch you guys on the other side with Guardians of the Galaxy. Volume 2.
Let's all go to the lobby. Let's all go to the lobby. Let's all go to the lobby to get ourselves a treat.
Hey, everybody. We are back having watched Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2. We hope you've seen it now, too. Spoilers will potentially be plentiful in this part of the podcast. So if you haven't seen Guardians 2, you're like the only one who hasn't. So go see that and then come back and listen to this part. All right, good. Ready? 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. You've seen it. You won't worry about spoilers. And Brian, what did you think of the movie?
I loved it. It is not, it's not as good as Guardians, but it's in the upper echelon of Marvel cinematic films.
Yeah, it's in the top half. I think it checked a lot of the boxes. I'm going to pick a lot of nits with it. I'll go ahead and admit there's a lot of things. I just think it's kind of funny to talk about. It doesn't mean I didn't like the movie or even really love the movie. All it means is that as a sequel, I think that there's probably just a certain height of uniqueness and freshness and expectations that it could meet. And I think any issues I may have had with the film is just a result of it hitting its head on kind of that limit. But before we get there, I think, yeah, name all the things it did so very, very well, starting with Kurt Russell.
Kurt Russell was fantastic.
How great.
The thing about Kurt Russell, when they announced the role, like when they first were in the early stages, they said, I think we're going to get Kurt Russell to play Star Wars Dad. Everybody that is our age that grew up with Kurt Russell being Kurt Russell immediately said, you nailed it already. Like, games that match. Like, there's nothing else that could be better. Yeah.
He was great, led really an amazing bit of performers. One of the trepidations folks may have had learning this movie was, like, much broader, much bigger, wider range of characters, more stars. Sylvester Stallone, what really amounted to a cameo, Ving Rhames, that sort of thing.
I think a backdoor pilot for his own movie.
Right. I think they hit it on all of those. Okay. They somehow kept all those in balance. I didn't think anything got really short shrift. If anything, if something got a little bit less time, it really just kind of, got maybe your expectations up and excitement up for a future installment. And Kurt Russell was probably, to me, one of the more compelling villains, ultimately, that a Marvel series has had as well. Had a lot more personality and character and realized motivation and conflict than Ronan from the first movie. So on that level alone, I would put Guardians 2 above Guardians 1 because of the nature of that character and how well Russell
performed. Guardians 1, Ronan was just a front for the really bad, but they really couldn't use all the way because they wanted to save him for Infinity Wars. But Thanos was the bad guy in that movie. It's just back in the background.
Right. Well, obviously, but in any case, I think that's something that Guardians 2 did better than Guardians 1. I also think that we got to talk about Michael Rooker's Yondu. What did you think of his performance and his character arc?
I think he was fantastic. Occasionally, I think maybe his character was a little probably overacted and a little too much. But the overall emotional depth of it really got to me. So, the lamest part of Guardians 2 was when they take over that whole ship, which is his one. It's just him, and he just takes out 200 people with this arrow. That was a little much for me. But beyond that, I thought he was great.
Now, see, I thought he was great too, but I would disagree. That was probably my top three favorite scenes in that movie. And I think one of the places where the movie also came closest to capturing kind of the fun of the first one. Not that the second one wasn't as fun, but it was a little bit of a different movie. The pacing was a little bit different, it felt like to me. It wasn't quite as fast. There's a little bit of more emotional depth, with every character having a character arc and a very satisfying one at that. What do you think about that? We've seen some probably reviews and reactions to the movie that kind of have talked about there's not as much different about this volume 2 as volume 1. It's repeating a lot of the same old stuff. What would be your response to that criticism?
I see where they're coming from. I see that both of them are about the overall story is about Star-Lord finding that his family is the people he's with and not his family he's searching for, and that he's, so distracted with finding his real family that he can't see the family that he's developed in front of him. But at the same time, though, there's something to be said for a missing father. I mean, I don't think it was repeating. I think it was just a natural progression of that story. When he came to terms with his mom's death, and his mom being gone, and now he has an opportunity to come to terms with his father, who's been missing his whole life. But I don't necessarily think it's repeating. I think it was just set up in the first movie.
I think I would be really interested. I'm sure someone will do this on YouTube or somewhere in the next year or so, is to take both of those movies and recut them into one super long
cut. Because I think they really do work.
It does feel like one long movie.
I think they really would work. One of the things I loved were the callbacks to the first film, particularly Rocket, talking about taking that guy's eye again, which was a callback to part of the climax of the previous movie.
It would work as one long film sliced through. The question I have, though, you know, now that they've announced they're going to have a Guardians 3, and they hinted even at a Guardians 4, which, whatever. But Guardians 3, it's obvious where they're going villain-wise. We had a Morlock. He's going to be
interesting.
The question, though, is where does Star-Lord, I mean, he found his mother, he's been okay with that name, he's found his father, he's now where does he go next, unless you want to make it a full-on romance with him and Gamora, and that be the whole of the arc, but I don't know where else you go with that.
Right, where's going to be the emotional weight?
It seems like almost all of the characters have come to a place where I don't know where they can go next.
So one place they could go with that is that the Guardians seem to have developed a reputation of some sort. Even though the movie's only set about a month after the first one, they're starting to gain this reputation. Mm-hmm. And so I wonder if there's something that'll happen in Infinity War that part of the emotional weight in number three will be, oh gosh, well now they can't be screw-ups anymore because now they have responsibility.
Yeah, I mean,
and so how do they handle that, and how do they come to terms with that? That now we have a reputation and responsibility. People are counting and depending on us. And so what do we do with that? That's one potential direction I can see.
A couple of things. It feels like, you know, there's only so many times that you can take Rocket and have him come to terms with how angry he is. I mean, that's both movies. He's, you know, he's kind of come from it. Gamora and Nebula, their relationship seems to be as bothered as it's going to be. Batista or Drax, you know, I kind of would have liked for him and Mantis they clearly wanted you to want a romantic relationship to develop. I don't know that it's going to happen. They played it smart, but I don't know what's going to happen there. But going forward into a third movie, though, it's going to be really interesting if they really try to branch out or what they do going forward, because Rocket can't be this angry guy. He can't be anything. He can't. So I just don't know where they can go from here. And also, each movie has had one big, like, sacrificial death, you know, big sacrifice. I guess they're getting sacrifices, but he seemed to at first until they revealed that he was with a baby group there. But now you have Yondu who's sacrificing. Who can sacrifice themselves going forward? You know, you don't want to fall in that trope of every time somebody's got to make this big, huge sacrifice for the good of the team. I mean, that seems like you can't do that every time.
Right. So, I agree. That is maybe a place that will be real interesting to see. I think as long as James Gunn is in charge, we don't have a huge amount to worry about with Guardians.
You know what's weird about
it continues that role of Marvel films, I said before. In some ways, in the best possible ways, you know what you're going to get with a Marvel movie? You're going to get a movie that when you're done, you don't feel like,
you were cheating.
You know, you've wasted 2 hours. Again, I could pick some nits a little bit. You said you had your big question. My big question was, where was John C. Reilly? I would have liked to have seen more of a John C. Reilly. But that's just something I have for a lot of films. real quick before we go, what did you think of the post-credit scenes? There was a lot of talk about, you know, there's going to be 5 of those. And people in our theater were leaving before even one of them came on.
I think 5 is probably pushing the limits for what people will hang around and wait for, especially when the 5 of them really did seem, more so than they have in the past, seem absolutely superfluous. Whereas in the past, they've seemed like they're getting you ready for the next one. They're kind of priming you. They're giving you a little teaser. There was a little bit of that. But I did love the Stan Lee is a guardian bit that was not necessarily a poster, but in the movie, I did love that. That was a bonus point. That was good.
Yeah, that was good. My favorite post-credit scene, just the
was
idea.
Teenage Groot.
Angry. That was beautiful. That was so very, very good. Of course, you know, there was some seeding for future films. You mentioned the backdoor pilot with Stallone and
the crew there. The Adam Warlock spoiler for the next Guardians.
If there is a Guardians 4, that would be the direction they go in. Is featuring or at least having something to do with those guys in it. And I don't know if that would work or not. I would hope, it'd be really nice for Stallone to end his career on a big capper like that. That would be fantastic. But I just don't know.
The Expendables in space. That would be
it looks like. Well, with Miley Cyrus thrown in there.
Well, with Guardians, I think that's kind of, even though it's not quite summer yet, that's still maybe kind of the kickoff to our summer movie season. So we're going to wrap things up there just by saying, hey, go see it. If you haven't already, go see it again. And tell us what you enjoyed about the movie, what nits you have to pick by dropping us a line on Twitter at 10kmovies or on Brian's blog, 10kmovies.com. And speaking of summer, we will do our annual summer preview in our next episode that will drop again in a couple of weeks. But until then, thank you so much for listening and downloading and hopefully sharing this podcast with a friend. We hope that your week is a 10.
10 plus.
Borderline 11.